This conference is being recorded.
Hello, and welcome to the Heart Start to Your Week on Monday, the 19th of May, 2008. Ah, an oasis of positivity, an oasis of the heart. Let's start this Heart Start in the heart, whether you're listening live or if you're listening to this as an archived recording, just allowing your attention for a moment to come into your heart. And if you have trouble knowing what that means, you could just shift your attention for a moment into your left big toe and wiggle it around. And then to your right index finger and wiggle that around. And if you can wiggle your ears, you could wiggle your ears. And if you can't wiggle your ears, then you just had an experience of what it's like to do what we call heart focus, meaning you put your attention on your ears without moving them. And that's what you're going to do with your heart, just shifting attention the same way you put attention on your toe if you wiggle it around. You're going to put attention in the heart, in the area around your chest. And then you let the breath come in through the heart and go out through the heart. And as you do that, I'd invite you to tap into a feeling of genuine care. What do you care about? I know for me right now, I'm deeply moved and touched by images in the media and figures on the radio, statistics of what's happened in China with the earthquake and Myanmar and the southern United States with tornadoes, hurricanes. So just for me, seeing people lose their loved ones and go through these intense traumas brings up a tremendous amount of compassion and genuine care. If it worries you, that's not care. That's a form of what we from Sierra HeartMath perspective would call overcare or stress. So don't focus on what worries you. Focus on what you genuinely care about, and here's how you can tell the difference. If you really care, it gives you energy. It makes you feel more balanced inside. If it's overcare, it taxes your energy. It drains you. It makes it harder to be motivated. So allow yourself to tap into something that you genuinely care about, something that fuels your passion. Or, as in the examples I gave, your compassion. And as you continue to focus in your heart, with the breath coming in through the heart and out through the heart, I invite this care that you have to extend itself to people or places that touch you, that you care for. So as you are putting care through your system and out to the world, not only does it feel good, how did that feel, by the way? Anybody who's on the call live want to share their experience of doing that? Becky Fisher, I know you're here. What was that like for you? You have us muted.
I know deadlines. I'm trying to. I thought you were done with it, so I quit doing it and was doing something else, and then I try to go back to it and back and forth. So it's kind of a good example for me that I just don't take enough time for it. But when I do, it's really, really helpful.
Yeah, so not only does it help you, right? It feels good. As you said,
yeah.
It gives you more energy.
Yeah, I started doing it just as I start my day every morning. I find that it's easier to tackle difficult things first thing in the day and even during the day, just taking a few minutes doing it.
So researchers from a place called HeartMath have discovered that not only does it feel good and give you energy, they can measure that it's good for you. Care like that. It brings order, a uniquely ordered pattern to the heart rhythm that changes how your brain works, how your nervous system works, how your hormones work. And tonight we're even going to find out that it changes the earth. They've been able to measure that now. Let's talk about how they know that and how they stumbled upon that research. But what's more significant at the moment for this conversation is the fact that caring works. It counts. It makes a difference in your own life and in the world. And so this call, this Heart Start call, is sponsored by a company called Kiera. Just a curse movie, you could call it Kiera. Because we're all about care. Sierra is the feeling you get when you're in that place of genuine, not strings attached, just genuine caring, heartfelt caring. It's good for you and good for the world. And at Sierra, that's what we do. We teach people, individuals as well as organizations, as well as even nations, how to tap into the power of care as a reference and a resource for an organizing principle of life. And so I've been looking forward with joyful anticipation to tonight's Heart Start call, knowing that this would be like a mini laboratory where we can put out care, where we can not just talk about it, but do it. And I'd love to inspire that with some stories. Darshan, do we have you back?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Shava.
Thank you.
Of course, I muted myself earlier when I had something to say.
you did. What was it you wanted to say earlier?
Well, you know, you were just talking about caring, and what I see is that, you know, just the conditions of day. I have a job that's pretty high stress. I work for the government, you know, on a very fast-track construction project, which the two are self-canceling, you know. So there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of stress that goes on. And what I've seen is exactly what you were speaking of, you know. And when you called for someone to speak up, I muted myself by accident. What I want to say is that when that stress begins to come and that there's the tendency to go into thinking or trying to figure out what should be being done and things like this into the overcare, for me, all the overcare is not here. That when I actually see that I can just relax for a moment and just hold that genuine place of being, of contributing, of being helpful, of really, truly just being attentive to what's here. And when I really open to you, when I really open to to whoever it is that I'm facing, and just, you know, with the honest intention of just caring in whatever way, without knowing, without analyzing or figuring it out, man, I am empowered. I do feel exactly what you're speaking of. There's more of a relaxing into an energized state where I just, like now, where I feel, you know, very happy, very good.
Mm. Yeah, so that's what we say. You can make a difference in a heartbeat. You can beat stress in a heartbeat, because it doesn't take a lot of time. It just takes a shift, right?
Yes, and that's nicely put. It truly is a shift. No, it's out from there back to here.
Yeah, it's like shifting gears in a car, for sure. So, Darshan, both you and Becky have shared eloquently about how it changes your own internal experience of life, but you have a stunning story about how this changes the world around us, right? Which, of course, went out in the interview invitation today. I would love it if you would share your Firefly story.
Okay. Yeah, in fact, I hadn't told anyone that. It was such an intimate and just a personal affirming moment. It was one of those things that was so tender that when it was over, I just thought, I'm not going to speak about this to anyone. And then, of course, the first time you crossed my mind, I've got to tell Sheva.
And then I became a big blabbermouth and told 2,000 people.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Thanks, Sheva. Anyway, so here it is. But I figure for whoever hears this, there's already an awareness here of the incredible resonance of the heart, not only in leading us, but in being connected to that tremendous heart that runs through all of us, and that being the connecting point, that being the communicator. You know, so much of my life is, as you know, most know that I'm a spiritual teacher, and so this is why I'm so supportive of you and your work, Sheva, is just the always aiming and continually supporting people in realizing their own heart and becoming in sync with this, and so I treasure that. What happened with the Firefly was like this. I always get up very early to meditate, and I go and meditate. I have a room in the barn where I am right now, as a matter of fact. But there's a finished room in the barn. It's quiet that I come out to, and I come out very early in the morning, usually between 3 and 4 o'clock. Well, I was back at home here, glad to be home, and I came walking out of the house, and I see this little glow there. It just happened to catch my eye, very dim little glow. And I just stopped and, you know, bent over and picked it up. It was a little firefly, and his little light was on continuously, which is kind of rare. Now, first of all, it was a shock because I hadn't seen a single firefly all year, and I thought it was months ahead of schedule. As it turned out, it was only a few weeks because I've seen another one now. I've not seen any more than that. But at the time, I hadn't seen anything at all. This was the first firefly, and I picked him up, and I was holding him. And so I came walking by, and a friend had come into town and was sleeping in her van waiting for me to join me in this early morning meditation. So I came by and knocked on her window and showed her this little firefly because he was keeping his light on constantly, which was really kind of strange. They're not like that. Usually it goes on for flashes for a second, goes off for about 5 or something like that. But this little guy was staying on. It was pretty dim. So once I showed her, I thought that was a little blessing. I went over to kind of throw him into the bushes, let him go, let him gonna do what he's gonna do. And it just, I had the strangest experience that, this sounds funny, that he didn't want to be turned loose, that he didn't want to be thrown into the bushes. So I didn't know what to do, so I just took him with me, and I went out into the barn, and I slid open this big door that faces the outside, and I sat on my couch where I often sit, and I just cupped him in my hand, and I just had the strongest sensation that he was dying. His little light started to get dimmer and dimmer as I'm holding him in my hand. And when I had looked at him on the way into the barn, I had turned on a light and looked at him, and there was like spider web or something on him to where he looked pretty peaked. But when I sat down, I held him in my hands. He was cupped in my hand, and I was just kind of meditating just quietly. And I looked down, And all of a sudden, I see his little light has gotten so dim, but it's now flashing, and it's starting to go flash, 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 flash. And I realize it's resonating with my own heart. And I'm just watching this flashing, and it's incredible because I think everybody here has probably seen the M-Wave machine, but it was the incredible little sensor, the heart sensor that flashes. It was just like that, only firefly green. It was just very same. And it was flashing. And, you know, when I was sitting in this quiet peacefulness, it was just such a resonance and a beauty of feeling that. And immediately I go to my friend who's also sitting out there. I said, hey, look at this. And as I, you know, start to disrupt and do this, then the flashing gets irregular and stops, you know, when I go to show her. And then I go, oh, well. And then I bring him back. And then as I sit quietly again, it starts to flash again in resonance with my heart. And I do it again. Hey, look at this. You know, and about that time, same thing. It gets irregular and whatever. So then I just, you know, realize that this is not something that's here to share or to do anything with, but to be together. So I just finally just surrendered to just sitting with him. And his little light flashed with my heart continuously until it faded completely. And I think he expired. But in any case, my friend did get a chance to see, because she looked over the side and got to see his little light flashing in synchronization with my heart. But I started to cry because I just felt such a oneness with him and such a happiness that he found a way to be with me, you know, just right before he dies, that he found beloved, that he found a way to be together. And this beautiful piece, this is what I experience, Sheva, with you when we get together. When we get together like this on the phone, when we get together in person.
Yes, well, the idea of two hearts that beat as one, and in this case, a heart and a light that beat as one.
Yeah.
Heart math science is showing us that that's not just this fun poetic metaphor, that it's actually a reality.
Yes, I have no doubt that maybe he has a little heart that beats 1,000 beats a minute, but I know that there was such a resonance because the light flashing was absolute harmony. It was just so perfect. I'd never seen anything like that before, ever. Nor do I know of anyone who has. But it was just so beautiful. So I was not going to share it, but then I had to share it with you because you teach this. And, you know, the confirmation of that was worth coming out of my anonymity to share that with you.
It's a beautiful story, and to me it is a direct experience of the fact that the care in our heart gets there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And of course, out of 14 years of living life from the heart and applying the tools of the heart, I have seen again and again that when I take a moment to focus my attention in the heart and radiate my care through it to the people and places I love or care about, miracles occur. It sounds trite to say it, but it's to me as tangible as saying, yes, it raises your DHEA, and after 4 weeks you can, you know, you can sit in a tube and pee in a cup, and we can see that your neurotransmitters increase and your DHEA levels go up and your stress hormones go down and miracles happen.
Yeah.
It's as clinical to me as all the rest of it, that genuine miracles seem to occur in this place of care. And of course, there are countless stories of this that we cite in the classes and countless tools we teach to help your care get there. So but it seemed to warrant a special call just to focus in on it. You know, of course, in the beginner course and in the free webinar, I talk a lot about these newborn premature twins where one of them was dying. They were born 3 months premature. It was hospital policy that they be put in separate incubators. And so the younger twin's heart rate wouldn't regulate and the temperature was far below normal and she was pretty much leaving. And a nurse followed her heart and just put the older twin in her sister's incubator. And the older twin immediately threw her arm around her sister, and there's a picture of this that was published in the newspapers called the rescuing hug, where her sister threw her arm around her sister, around her, and within minutes, the dying twin's heart rate regulated in rhythm with the sister, the older sister, and her temperature rose to normal, and both twins lived. So a premature, a six-month-old developed fetus, a baby that's not even supposed to be out of the womb yet, can have this impact with their care. Imagine what you can do. I've seen so many miracles like this occur. And to me, it's always miraculous. When I was in acupuncture school, we had a saying that intent is 99%. Meaning you put your focus, your energy into something, your heart into it. This is what it means to put your heart into something. You put your conscious heart's intent into an outcome or a person or an activity or, you know, a place. Energy follows intention, and matter follows energy. We know that. Just look at the Grand Canyon, right? Matter follows the flow of energy, and energy follows your intention. So you put your intention into something very powerful, and yet it's so reliable, and yet every time that a tangible result comes of it to me, I experience it as a miracle. And the truth is, this is who we are. This is as much a commonplace aspect of our being as being able to put our arms over our head. And that is also a miracle, isn't it? My brother, when he was a little boy, used to sit at the top of our steps and gather all the neighborhood children around him. They'd sit at the bottom of the stairs. And he'd say to them, "Want to see some magic?" And of course, all the kids, you know, they were like ages 2 to probably 8. Their eyes would get really wide, and they would go, "Yeah, we want to see some magic." And my brother would put both his arms over his head in the Fiera stance. Funny, I never connected it to Fiera. One of our definitions for the word Fiera is that great feeling you get when your arms fly up over your head and a yes flies out of your mouth. So he'd throw his arms up over his head in a fierce stance. Because that to him, his ability to consciously move his body where he wanted it to go, was magical. Well, we are miraculous beings in that we can consciously put our intention, our care, into a rescuing hug for whatever it is we care about. We can be the older twin. So before we share more stories, let's engage this. Everyone who's listening, take a moment, whether you're listening live or listening to this as an archive, take a moment to jot down, make either a mental note or write down on a piece of paper. What do you care about? What matters to you? What people, what places touch your heart? What animals? What natural habitats? What activities? When I'm in Hawaii, I love the land and the terrain and the whales and the dolphins and the turtles and the air and the, I love that place so much. I almost feel the land itself thanking me for my love. I remember I was teaching there for an extended period of time, and seismologists, now this I can't prove, but we're going to talk about the science that will prove things similar in a moment. Just sharing my own direct experience. I had been teaching for almost 3 weeks straight there, working many, many hours every day. And so I gave myself a gift at the end of that long teaching period of a helicopter ride around the island. It was so much fun, and as the helicopter was taking off, I looked down at the terrain and the waterfalls, and we could see whales in the bay from the helicopter, and we flew over live volcanoes and saw them spewing molten lava, and then we flew over snow-capped mountain peaks. I mean, it was breathtaking, and I just felt that I was pouring this care to the land, because seismologists before this helicopter ride had been warning that there was seismic activity and there could be an earthquake that could jeopardize the Big Island. And I wasn't worried about it, but I just felt so much love for the terrain. It was like, thank you for being here for whatever amount of time I get to seize the appreciation of what you are, which is a form of care, you know, care. Appreciation of anything is a form of care for that thing. If you're ever nursing a sick loved one of the best ways you can care for them is to appreciate who they are. That helps us avoid the pitfall of overcare that I call pity or worry. Yeah. So I appreciated the land so much. It was almost palpable to me that the land said back, thank you, it's your care that keeps me alive. What you appreciate, you infuse with this ordered heart rhythm. And just as Darshan or the little infant twins, just as their stories reveal, our care creates order in the heart that infuses what we care about with this order and harmony. And now they can measure that on a global scale. NASA scientists, in conjunction with HeartMath, are in the process of expanding something called the Global Coherence Monitoring System. And it allows them, just as HeartMath has a technology called the M-Wave, which can measure, like Darshan's Firefly, to measure your heartbeat in real time and show you whether you're in care or overcare, or no care, that place we get when we've overcared so long that we burn out. True care reveals itself in the M wave, in your heart rhythm, as an ordered pattern or green on the M wave. Well, now they have this global coherence monitoring system that can actually measure what would be considered the heart rhythm or the electrical output, electrical field, the pulse of the earth. And here's the proof that they've come upon that humans can alter that. Anybody ever blown out birthday candles and wished for peace on earth or global harmony, or when you make a wish on a falling star, you wish for a world at peace?
Yes.
This is measurably possible now. What was observed on the Global Coherence Monitoring System in 2001 was 2 weeks of relatively ordered electrical patterns around the earth, kind of like the pattern that takes place on the M wave when you're measuring your heart rhythm in a state of Sierra. And then something happened in September of 2001. September 11th, two planes crashed into the World Trade and Convention Center, the Twin Towers, right? And they came crashing down. Now, the explosion itself did not warrant a change in the Earth's electrical field. It wasn't a big enough explosion to have impact on the Earth's atmosphere. However, the Global Coherence Monitoring System was still running at the time. And the moment that the reports of this occurrence started happening on CNN, something changed in the Earth's atmosphere. And like a chaotic M-wave pattern or red on the M-wave, when a human being is in distress and their heart becomes erratic and incoherent, the Earth's electrical field at 9 a.m. Eastern Time went into a chaotic pattern and remained there for weeks after 9/11. In other words, this led NASA scientists to have to conclude that the only thing that could be the cause of that, given that the explosions themselves were not sufficient to create that, was human emotion, human stress. If collective human stress can create global disharmony, guess what that implies about your care? It counts. We have countless stories of how care does get there. You become an agent for global change when you simply reside in the peace and exuberance, the joy, the compassion, and the passion of your heart. So as you take the truth of that in, you know what? You don't have to believe me that it's true. Let's take this possibility and live it right now. I invite you to drop your attention into the area around your heart and breathe genuine care for the people, the places, the natural habitats, the animals, the activities that you love, and let your care spill from your heart like ripples in all directions into those things. How does that feel for those who are alive on the call? What's that like? What is that like for you, Darshan?
So blissful. I forgot that I existed. So absolutely just in peaceful harmony. Beautiful.
You can recognize that it's real care when you feel like Darshan and you have what he's having. If you felt distraught or stressed in any way, all that means is that you are tapping into overcare rather than true care. And that's why we teach this here at Sarah, to help people get from that overcare state to their true care, where at any moment you can tap into the natural and inherent bliss of your being.
This is Becky Fisher. I've done that a lot of times, but I feel an indescribable connection, oneness with everything, and just more of a sense that we are all one, not just the people, but the animals, the plants, the earth, everything, that we're all one, we're all connected, and that every thought, every prayer, everything we do and say, that it all matters.
That's beautiful, Becky.
Yeah, I love what you said about mattering. People try so hard to be of value, and in the trying, they push away their intrinsic value. It's just naturally here because we care. You know, remember, a premature infant spontaneously cares. It's who we are. It's not something we have to learn. But for some of us, like me, I had to relearn it. And having step-by-step tools like heart math, it's just things we teach in our beginner webinar, the next one starting June 3rd, help some of us get back to that truer natural state that is who we really are.
That story you refer to about the twins, the babies with Mimi, I got that many years ago, the picture and the story on the internet, and I printed it up and I showed it to my daughter, who was a young teenager at the time, and it touched her so deeply that she put it on her bulletin board in her room, and everywhere she's moved since then, college, graduate school, now married, I've seen it in a very prominent place, pinned up on the wall, and it's been way over 10 years, and it's still that important to her that she's always got it pinned up on the wall, and has saved it all these times, and plus I showed it to my neighbor who adopted a preemie baby, and I've always loved that. And plus I was a nurse, and so I know how much it takes to buck the system, and that was a big part of the story, was that nurse was, it was totally against the policy to ever put two babies together, and that she was really taking a huge risk and just did what she absolutely thought had to be done.
Well, what's so poignant and beautiful about your story, Becky, is that moment of care in sharing the story with your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And just that single moment impacted her for her whole life.
It's amazing. And you never know. Sometimes when
we're doing
such
it
a small
all
thing.
The time. Every moment is an opportunity for you to leave a lasting legacy of your essence that way.
Yeah.
The interaction, the gas station attendants, or you know, the waitress, or the AT&T telephone operator, or internet online help support, or whatever, you know, your smallest acts of kindness and care mm-hmm. can have such a profound impact. I know that there's other stories floating around too, like the school teacher who had her second graders all write down things they appreciated about each other.
Mm.
And apparently she only found out like decades later when one of her students died in Iraq. He'd been, deployed to Iraq, that he had carried that piece of paper with him for decades,
mm-hmm.
since the second grade. And when he died, it was the only personal item he had on him.
Mm. We did that in school when I was a sophomore, and I still have the paper.
You see? We don't know the impact of our care. And in not knowing, we deny ourselves the millions of opportunities to create many, many, many more miracles.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the story? I'm sorry. Have you seen the story of the they were doing surgery on the infant inside the womb to save his life, and this doctor had been doing these surgeries for 15, 20 years, and the tiny, tiny preemie within the womb he's doing surgery on inside the mother, because the heart defect was so severe it would not survive until term, and this tiny, tiny hand reached out and grasped all the way around his finger. And everyone held their breath.
Nikki, I hate to break it to you, but that actually is up on Snopes. And it was not true? No, it wasn't. Didn't exactly happen that way.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the things as well. It's like, and the surgeon said that in actual fact, he pulled the infant's hand out. So it wasn't.
Oh.
His hand and
okay.
head. But we don't even we don't need made up stuff. You know, people are making stuff up.
Uh-huh.
Hungry for real connection.
Yeah.
And we don't need to make stuff up because the real connection is here.
Mm-hmm.
It exists and it's real and it's as close to you as taking a moment to just focus your attention in the heart,
okay.
and radiate care. And if that's hard for anyone listening, don't despair, because there are ways to learn how to care again, ways to find your care and your passion and your compassion. Before we close up the call for the evening, I just want to open it up if there are any other stories that anyone wants to share, or any questions about this process.
Jim, I just wanted to thank you. I'm the same way. I'm on the internet a lot, and so I get a lot of the stories and, the heart jerkers. And, in a way, I hesitate to share a lot of my personal experience, which I have tremendous personal experiences of profound things. And the heart is so rich just in our being together, just in this sharing, that there's such a value here now that there's this tendency to just want to do anything that can be done, lovingly, offeringly, to support, this inward facing and this learning to, stay in harmony with our heart. And that M-Wave has been such a useful tool. And by that I mean, things, stresses are going to come up, and they're just going to do that. I don't care how ascended we are. And that the greater discipline we have, it eases things, to just be able to turn within briefly and without a lot of fanfare or practice. So, I'm just so thankful for your help and for the, heart math with the M-Wave, So thank you.
Thank you for your care. Yes, your appreciation and care of these heart start calls keeps them alive. Without that, there'd be no reason to do them.
I feel the same.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you, Becky. Thank you for being here. And it looks like we'll be forwarding this recording to several people who thought we were on our other number. So sending lots and lots of care to everyone that was here.
Yeah.
And everyone that wasn't here, and to those that were confused and thought we were on the old number, we should let our care extend to them right now who think they might be missing out and don't know that they're going to get a recording. And, you know, because we are all connected, any time that you put care out towards another, you have to ask yourself the question, is there really any other?
Yeah.
And so I've seen for myself, when I go out of my way to care for me, other people around me feel better. My patients and clients do better when I do things like what I did yesterday. I went and spent 5 hours in a spa getting a 2-hour massage and an hour-long foot massage and cared for my feet and my fingers and my toes and my nose and wonderful aromatherapy and hot tubs. And I just took a self-care day. And I'm finding today that patients that were struggling with things are doing better. That when I care for me, it cares for the whole. And invariably, I find if I go out of my way to minimize someone else's stress, it comes back to me and makes my life easier. Because we are connected, and care for one is care for all. So thank all of you for being here tonight and being a part of this journey in the heart. And I look so forward to reconvening with all of you next Monday night for the Heart Start call on May 26th. Becky, Darshan, you guys are awesome. Thank you for being here. And for those who didn't share, thank you also for being here. And good night, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night.